Shabbat shalom. Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Delighted to be here with you today. Big congratulations on this beautiful new sanctuary and building. And now you got your work cut out for you. You got to pray your little hearts out and love people into the kingdom of God to fill every seat up in this place, right? Can I? All right, good. Yes. Well, as Jude said, my wife and I, who sends greetings, we're co-founders of Reach Initiative International, and our website is up there, reachii.org. And our modus operandi really is, in all the countries that we have been privileged by the Lord to serve in, is to love people into the kingdom of God one at a time, and it's working. People are coming into the kingdom. And, you know, you don't need me to tell you that we are living in some dark days, right? And it's especially difficult in dark days for the people of Israel since October 7th. Just last week, my wife and I returned to America from Israel. And since October 7th, we've been spending a good amount of time in the land of Israel. And I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you who support our work, who pray for us. It means a lot to us. We're a team, can't do it alone. And so thank you, Jude and this congregation, for standing with us. And I see my good friends, Alan and Diana, who stood with us all the years when you led, and now Jude and your whole leadership team, you continue to stand with us, which we greatly appreciate. I'm going to see if I'm going to get this right. Come on. Ah, good. Okay, this is the central passage of Scripture for us today. It says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those living in the land that lies in the shadow of death, light has dawned." Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. As we all know, the past 13 months for the people of Israel have been beyond a dark time. It's been a very, very dark time, a time of terror, death, destruction, and war. And today, what I want to do, I want to give you an up-close, on-the-ground, from on-the-ground view of what our people in the land of Israel are living through. But not only, I want to give you a good taste of the fact that the light of Yeshua is dawning and how God is working through the Reach Initiative team as well as other Yeshua followers who are loving, providing material help, bringing hope and truth. And I want you to know what I perceive is the beginnings of a spiritual awakening for the people of Israel. I want to repeat that. What I perceive is the beginnings of a spiritual awakening for our people in Israel. Perhaps more than ever in our lifetimes, in my lifetime, Israelis and Jewish people around the world are seeking answers, looking for a light that leads them out of the dark tunnel of disillusionment. More and more, they are coming to the realization in Israel that Messianic Jews and their Christian partners are sincere, good, caring friends that they can count on. We all know that a light in darkness is much more evident than when it shines in broad daylight. Dawn is the first light in the sky after a dark night and just before sunrise. During this dark time, the light of Yeshua is dawning on more and more Israelis. And allow me to encourage you to pick up your prayers in this regard. Not only to pray for victory over our enemies, not only to pray for the hostages, not only to pray, and we must pray for all of this, but not only to pray for the people that have lost loved ones that are suffering, but let us pray for this great end time prophesied, promised spiritual awakening of the people of Israel and Jewish people around the world. Prayer makes a difference. Do you believe that? So please don't just hear those words. Take it to heart individually and corporately and go for it. And go for it for the harvest that God's preparing in your community right here as well. And because we see the light of Yeshua dawning in Israel, because we see these beginnings of a spiritual awakening, we have been directed by the Lord to enlarge our tents, to expand our work in Israel, and to go through every door to meet the many, many, many pressing needs and to bring the eternal light of the gospel as hearts soften and open. I'll share more about that a bit later in my message. This is Kibbutz Be'eri on October 7th. As you know, on this dark day, Hamas invaded Israel, massacred about 1,200 of our people, including children, pregnant women, and the elderly. More Jewish people murdered in one day since the Holocaust. And they took 250 hostages, including children, women, Holocaust survivors, and other innocent civilians. In this slide, you see photos that me and my wife took at Kibbutz Be'eri soon after October 7th. 130 people were butchered and 26 taken hostage just from this kibbutz. It's hard for me to find words to describe the overwhelming emotions I experienced being down there. Vivian Silver, a resident of this community, helped Gazans and drove them to get treatment in Israeli hospitals that they could not get in Gaza. Many Israelis living near Gaza were like Vivian in their attitudes and behavior toward the Palestinian Gazans. They wanted to be friends. They wanted to help them. Vivian was one of the 130 people massacred in Kibbutz Be'eri. She was burned alive in the home that you see. On October 7th, Chantal and I were in Israel. We had just come back from the Galilee. We were on vacation for a few days with our two granddaughters. We have a daughter and two granddaughters that live in Israel. We came back to Yad HaShmonah, the only Messianic Jewish moshav in Israel, just outside of Jerusalem. And as the sirens went off, warning of a rocket attack, we ran to the bomb shelter with our two granddaughters. We had a sense of God's peace, but as you can imagine, we were very unsettled and very concerned because no one really knew what was happening and what deadly evil might be around the corner. Are the terrorists roaming Israel? Could they attack in other locations soon? Would they be at our home soon? Imagine, more than 2,500 Hamas terrorists breached the border intent on one thing, murder and taking hostages. Murder, brutal murder and taking hostages. And this number, 2,500, you may not be aware of, it does not include the large swarm of Gazan civilians that also entered Israel to cause harm and to loot. We were wondering, will more life-threatening rockets come from Gaza, be fired at Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, where we were living? You know, in the first hours of this Hamas shock onslaught on Israel, some 3,000 rockets, I want you to picture this, 3,000 rockets were fired into Israel from Gaza in the first 4 hours. For comparison, during the entire 50-day 2014 Gaza war, a total of about 4,000 rockets were fired into Israel. We also wondered, what about the terror group Hezbollah in the north, much more powerful, better armed than Hamas? Would they attack? And what about Iran? Would they join in at this point in time? Nobody knew. Normally in the Moshav, after school, there's children everywhere in this Moshav on the streets, riding their bicycles, playing. For a number of weeks, there was no school. Kids were locked in their homes. Nobody was on their street. We didn't know what was going on. Next. Soon after October 7th, the U.S. Embassy was evacuating American citizens from Israel. They kept texting me, sending me emails. And even though there was war, terror, and great uncertainty, we felt the Lord directing us to stay and to support our daughter, our two granddaughters, but not only, to minister to the people of Israel who were shaken to the core and to do whatever the Lord would put before us. 14 months later, still about 100 hostages in Gaza, including these two little children. Where is the world's outrage? The whole world should have said what our upcoming president said recently. Release them or you're going to face hell, Hamas. It should have been said on day one. We rarely hear in our news the suffering of these souls. I can't imagine what they're going through. But we do know from the testimony of released hostages that they are experiencing on one level or another deprivation of food, water, other essentials, intimidation, and often sexual abuse. And imagine being a mom. I put myself in this position, being a dad, a husband, wife, brother, sister of those being held hostage. They can't live. They can't move on with life. And on top of this horror, since October 7th, students in our universities and others are not only marching in the street and chanting ridiculous slogans, free Palestine from the river to the sea. Sometimes you ask these kids what river, they say, is it the Mississippi? But not only that, they're praising Hamas, many, for taking hostages and for the brutal murders of little children, pregnant mothers, and other innocent Jewish people. To the shock and amazement of so many of us and so many of the people of Israel after they experienced this horrible October 7th massacre, we are seeing this huge, irrational, frightening rise of anti-Israelism and anti-Semitism in the Western world. Jewish people around the world are facing a dangerous rising tide of anti-Semitism. I want to underline what I'm saying now, not seen since the days of Hitler's Nazi Germany. Perhaps I'm especially sensitive to this because I've been serving Holocaust survivors along with my wife and our teams in Israel and Belarus for 30 years. We've sat in their homes, dozens of them, many of them like family. We've heard their stories. The church in Europe was mostly silent as Hitler and the Nazi regime began to systematically dehumanize Jewish people And soon after, they were systematically murdering 6 million innocent men, women, and children simply because they were Jewish. We must not repeat their failure. We must not be silent. The Nazi killing machine did not stop with the Jews. It went after people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I just saw the film they made about him. A righteous Christian pastor who refused to be quiet in the face of evil. There were not a lot of Dietrich Bonhoeffer types during the Holocaust. I want to encourage you. Not only do we need to pray, because we know the spiritual roots of anti-Semitism are at the core of this rising tide of anti-Semitism. But we must talk to our church friends. We must talk to pastors. We must encourage them to stand in their communities, and we and they must stand firmly, but peacefully and well-informed, in private conversations in the public arena. Silence is agreeing. And if you want to dig deeper into the spiritual roots and history of anti-Semitism, you can visit our website at reachii.org. Click on the top menu, Resources. Go to Your Jewish Connection Podcasts and scroll down for the episode called Understanding Tisha B'Av and the Roots of Anti-Semitism. And of course, there's many good books that have written also. And if you haven't brushed up, so to speak, on how anti-Semitism works and why it is such a danger to us today and to your children and your grandchildren today, I suggest that you dig in. So let's continue to remember the hostages and their loved ones in prayer and stand strongly in prayer and in word and in action against anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism as we stand for the God of Israel, the God of heaven and earth, for righteousness and truth. Survivors of the October 7th massacre. I want to share a couple of stories that I had an opportunity to share with Jude. We had some wonderful fellowship yesterday evening over dinner. The young man, his name is Itai. I want to tell you about Itai. Itai is the grandson of one of the leaders of the Holocaust Survivor Association that represents about 2,500 Holocaust survivors in the land of Israel. Boris, his grandfather, is a spokesman. He's a leader for Holocaust awareness and for the survivors of the Holocaust. Itai, his grandson, was down at the Nova Festival. He survived miraculously because he made a decision to go and help someone else. If he hadn't done that, he would not be here today. Itai lost 6 of his childhood friends, including his best friend and his roommate. Soon after October 7th, when Boris was able to regather himself, many of the Holocaust survivors couldn't speak for days. He regathered himself and he called me. He said, "My grandson Itai was down there. He needs help. Will you help him?" See, Boris and I and our team, we're heart to heart. We've been serving him and his organization for 10 years. He trusts us. He knows we're for real. Our love is authentic. So we had a dinner with Boris and his wife, Itai, and his parents, and we made a commitment. And we could only do this because of the help of friends like you. The lines to get free psychological care after October 7th, you can imagine, were around the block, so to speak. People were waiting for months Itai needed help immediately, so we offered to pay for first 8 psychology sessions that he needed. And his grandfather also said, you know, he'll have to move out of his apartment, which I think is too much for him. Can you help him stay? And he's not ready to deal with a new roommate. And so we committed to paying a year of his rent so he could stay in his apartment. The next thing that happens is kind of amazing. This is just a whole God story here, and I want you to see how the light is dawning. So, of course, Itai was very grateful to us and to all of our Reach Initiative partners, me and my wife, our daughter, serving him, and his whole family very grateful. One day his grandfather says to him, Itai, and he was going through a hard time, couldn't sleep for months, having these huge headaches, nightmares. His grandfather says, Itai, you know, maybe one of your purposes in life, and maybe it will help you yourself, is to be a spokesperson for what happened on October 7th. Just like I am for the Holocaust. Itai took it to heart. He just got back from a trip to America where he was the main speaker, and he spent 2 hours with Governor Newsom in California. And he said, this is part of my purpose in life, and this is bringing healing to my soul. A few weeks back, I'm sitting with a good brother, Kalev Myers, who was very focused on creating awareness for the hostages around the world. So he would take relatives of the hostages throughout Europe and America, and they would speak. And as I was talking to him, I said, who's following up with these folks? He said, you know, not a lot's happening. Would you take it on? I said, for sure. This is who we are, to minister to the hurting and the suffering, to love people, and hopefully give Yeshua a big chance to show his love and to awaken them to the fact that he is the one they need more than anyone else. And so we met Ziv, and we're sitting with Ziv having lunch. Her story is she was in a bomb shelter with 30 other people, including her nephew, who she brought down to the festival. 3 people came out of that bomb shelter. Not her nephew, not her friends. Ziv and 2 others. You know how they survived? When Hamas just came in and shot them all dead, the bodies fell on top of these 3. And they just laid there. That's how they survived. Can you imagine? On top of it, her soon-to-be husband, Eliyah, is still in Gaza. Still in Gaza. So as we're talking with Ziv, we say, do you know an Itai? And she goes, is he like a speaker? And we go, yeah. Well, I just met him in the airport a few weeks ago because they said I could go with him and speak in California. So we take a little photo. She takes a photo with me and my wife, this photo actually, and she sends it to Itai. And what does Itai say? He says, wow, I can't believe you're meeting Stuart and Chantal. These are great people. And then the next thing we know is that Itai and Ziv are introducing us to the fellow who's coordinating all of the help for these survivors. And he says to us, after we talk, I won't go into all the detail, he says to us, I see your heart, I see your approach. We'll give you as many people as you can handle. You can collaborate with us or just take them on your own. This is why we're expanding our tents and hiring new staff in Israel, because God is opening door after door for us to shine the light of Yeshua, meet pressing needs, help practically, and love on people. who are hurting really bad. Hurting really bad. Nobody knows if Steve's boyfriend, Eliyah, is alive. We asked her about her life. She said, my life's on hold. There's only one thing I can do. Think about him and create awareness to get him out of there. Hoping that she'll see him alive again and get married. Heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching. We'll need friends like you to help us to hire this new staff. I really ask you to pray about it and to create the programs that God's putting on us, on our hearts. Please do pray about it. And as you pray, pray for Ziv and Itai and all those that survived, and pray for their loved ones. It's overwhelming. 60,000 people still cannot go home. Kiryat Shmona in the north of Israel, just to illustrate, it's a college town, more than 30,000 citizens. Today it's a ghost town, almost nobody there. It's been that way since October. You don't hear about this in the news. You hear about, oh, how terrible Israel is and what we're doing in Gaza. I want to mention to you that many war experts in the United States and in Europe have said publicly that Israel has done more to protect the lives of citizens in war than America and Europe ever had in any war. But yet, we're constantly falsely accused. And at the same time, Hezbollah is firing rockets into Israel until this ceasefire. Sometimes hundreds. I would get them on my app. And millions of Israelis would be running. Haifa, Tel Aviv, those areas, and far north, would be running into their bomb shelters. Sometimes multiple times a day. Do you ever read that in the news here? That's what's happening. That's what was happening until this ceasefire. Sometimes 40 rockets, sometimes 120 rockets in a day. And we gotta say, it's a miracle. Every life lost, every person injured is tragic. But it's a miracle, it's not more. It really is. You know, you're not going to hear this in the news either. But the vast majority of Arabs and Jews in Israel live together peacefully. Just to illustrate, I had a freak accident and broke my hip just before Iran attacked on April 13th. It was a wild time, very unsettling. We didn't know if it was just going to be the beginning or it would go day after day. That was a miracle also. They shot 300 drones and rockets into Israel, and nobody got killed. Nobody. But my daughter and my wife, those of you know my wife, she's pretty petite. My daughter is too. They had to carry this guy into the bomb shelter at the time. And we were there with our two granddaughters and our daughter, just watching the news, trusting in the Lord, grabbing his peace as best we could, sharing it with our granddaughters. But when I was in the hospital, you never hear this. There were Arab patients, Jewish patients. There were Arab doctors, Jewish doctors. Arab nurses, Jewish nurses. At the reception, there were Arab ladies, Jewish ladies. And every day in supermarkets and retail stores and in hospitals, Jewish people, Jewish Israelis, and Arab Israelis are for the most part working together peacefully. Of course, there's crazies on each side, actually. But this is what's really happening in Israel. We're not an apartheid state. We're the only democracy in the Middle East. And Arabs are running to their bomb shelters the same times that the Jewish people are. And Arabs are defending the only democracy in the Middle East together with Israeli IDF soldiers. The world's full of lies. That scripture in Isaiah comes to my mind often. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who substitute light for dark and dark for light. It's happening constantly. We need to peacefully stand up for truth. We need to be well informed. We're in a very serious spiritual battle, and we're in a very serious battle for life. Very serious battle. You know, I'll speak for myself. Years ago, when I would see these crazy people on the news in Iran chanting, death to Israel, death to Iran, this is how my brain processed it. A bunch of nuts. Crazy fanatics. I'll tell you how I process it now, and I suggest you process it the same. They mean exactly what they say. They are focused. They stay late up at night, stay late. They stay up late at night planning. And they are very intent. Very intent. And they don't just stop with Israel and Jewish people. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, but they have Europe on their radar. They have America on their radar. And they're moving intentionally. Wherever radical jihadists exist, life will be hard for everybody else. We need to take this seriously. There are very few of our Jewish people who took seriously what the Nazis were proclaiming and began to do. They thought this will pass. No, this is a demonic wave that is inspiring hundreds of thousands of people around the world, if not more. It is very serious. So am I scaring you? I hope you're a little scared, because what it should cause you to do is to pray, take hold of the shalom of God. You know, when the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid, it was because Joshua was afraid, right? So we need to know what we should be afraid of. We should be afraid of this. This is dangerous. But we should take hold of the Spirit of God and His shalom and make our stand in whatever way God shows us to. But remember, we're not first. Thank God. Thank God for politicians who stand for biblical values and who stand for Israel. We should all be informed voters. And I suggest we vote for those kinds of politicians. But that's not the main deal. The main deal is the kingdom of God, right? And it's amazing how people full of hate, like this son of Hamas, are transformed when they meet the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom Yeshua. So we need a great move of God. I pray for the Palestinians. I pray for the Gazans. I pray for the Iranians. But especially I pray for our people, because it's our time. It's our time. It's the beginning. The light is dawning. Spiritual awakening. You can see it. You can smell it in the air. Okay, I want to read you a little bit about the Hamas charter, then we're going to go to some more light dawning news. Some of you know this. I quote, "Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. The Islamic resistance movement is a distinguished Palestinian movement whose allegiance is to Allah and whose way of life is Islam. It strives to raise the banner of Allah over every inch of Palestine. The day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, and when the Jews will hide behind stones and trees, and the stones and trees will say, 'O Muslims, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him.'" This is what happened on October 7th. This is what they promised to repeat over and over and over again. And then we have the United Nations. Unbelievable. Issuing an arrest warrant, the International Criminal Court, for Benjamin Netanyahu. Right now in Syria, you may not know it, but there's a new move of what's called the rebels. They're actually ISIS and Al-Qaeda. You will not hear a word from the UN. I get my news from brothers on the ground in Israel that are in touch with things. They come. Syrian soldiers surrender. They talk with them for a while, mock them up for a while, and then the guy just takes out his weapon, kills them all. Civilians, you won't hear a word from the UN. Like one of our brothers says, no Jews, no news. The UN, we'll get to them again in a little bit. I want to share with you some good news. Okay, here are 60,000 people still cannot go home. What I'm showing you in this slide is a group from Shlomi, which is right up at the border with Lebanon. A group of Holocaust survivors that have been living in a hotel since October in Jerusalem. When we heard about it, we have a ministry that ministers to Holocaust survivors in many areas of Israel. When we heard about this, we said, we're going to adopt them. They were so happy that we did. We take them on excursions to biblical sites. We do concerts, we do art therapy, all kinds of events. And the leader of that group, she's an amazing woman, and you can read more about her, Luda, in this newsletter. We have some really great Light is Dawning stories in this newsletter. I encourage you to read it. Everybody get a copy? If you didn't, just see the usher. Boy, you got good ushers here. Dude. Everybody got a copy? Amazing. Let's give an applaud to the ushers. And what they said to us, because we are determined to be with them, honor them, respect them, love them, pray for them, do all these excursions, events, concerts, etc., to show them we care. They said, please, don't abandon us. You keep us from going into deep depression. And of course, we're not going to abandon them because we have friends like you that help us to continue the work that God has entrusted to us. After October 7th, all Israel is in shock, and then immediately, 350,000 approximately reservists are called up. Reservists are people who are trained, but they're not regular everyday soldiers. They're businessmen, they're husbands, they're doctors, whatever they are, and they get called up. They leave their jobs, they leave their families, and they're called up. About 1,000 Messianic Jews were called up. Soon, everybody understood that the IDF, the Israeli government, was not prepared to feed them, shower them, give them protective equipment that they needed. And so we and many other Yeshua followers, with the help of people like you and our Christian friends, stepped in. And so we started our Keeping Soldiers Warm initiative. What was that? We were going to provide them with hot food. We were going to provide them with warm clothes and protective clothes. And we were going to warm their hearts. And we went from Mount Hermon to the very north of Israel on the border with Lebanon and Syria, which is where my wife is here with Yoel, one of our staff members who was sent up to Mount Hermon. We went from Mount Hermon throughout Israel and down to the Gaza border. In the middle here, you see guys that would go into Judea and Samaria, often called the West Bank, but it's Judea and Samaria, to pull out terrorists. This was their work. And the two fellows that I'm praying for here, one of them is the son of one of our staff members. So we adopted units where there were believers so that not only would we provide this practical help, but we would create a strengthening of their testimony. Because every time we came, we said, we're here because there are Jewish followers of Yeshua and Christians, millions of them, that are praying for you, they care, and they're giving money so that we can provide you with this food, this equipment, and these things that you need. And they're super moved because they thought by October 15th the whole world is against them, you know. We had favor for about 2 days, you know. And then the whole world is coming against them. So they're greatly moved by this, and they were also moved by the fact that, you know, I'm not an Israeli citizen, and we stayed, and we're going all over. Why do you do this? Because we love you, because the Messiah put this love in our hearts. And I would get a chance to share my testimony, and then I would always offer prayer. And when I would offer prayer, you know, if somebody does something nice to you, you kind of feel obligated maybe, right? And say, okay, you can pray. Or some people say no. But I can tell you, every place that I went on these IDF reservist bases, they either took me around the shoulder and said, let's go. I guess there's no atheists in foxholes, right? Or we just gathered and they sincerely welcomed prayer. Sincerely welcomed prayer. The light is dawning because they're saying to each other, these Jewish followers of Yeshua and these Christians, man, we can really count on them. And we're continuing. When they got called back up into Lebanon, these different units to go into Lebanon, they said, can you help us with this, this, and this? They needed more waterproof boots. They needed more tactical gear that was waterproof and fireproof. They needed some more helmets. They needed some more vests and different other items. And we said, okay, we don't have the money, guys. Pray with us. And God provided, and so we're able to provide these things for these guys. And I can tell you, it's such an honor. It's such an honor. And they all said, please. They all did this. Like the last Roe, when he was picking up some equipment from my daughter's house, he hugged me like 5 times in this process. You know, he's just, thank you, hugging, you know. And they all say, thank everybody who's partnering with Reach Initiative to bring us this stuff and for praying for us. So I say to you, thank you. But I want them to say it themselves, so we brought a little video for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has given us such a love for these young men and women who are defending the families of Israel. It's His love. It's like I embrace pretty much each one of them like they're my own sons and daughters. And I know it's His supernatural love. And so we're developing our next steps to take care of them. Not just with keeping soldiers warm, but we're going to be creating programs in 2025 that are going to provide rest and healing for them. And we're already doing barbecues regularly where we invite a bunch of them to join us for a barbecue where we fellowship, we develop those relationships, and we give Yeshua an opportunity to shine His light and His love into their lives. The light is dawning, I believe. We're on the cusp of something significant happening for the kingdom of God as more and more Israelis are awakening. Should I go back to the UN and give you more bad news or just skip them? You guys know the UN. I'm skipping them. Just one word about it. This will just paint the picture. Since the UN Human Rights Council was established in 2006, it has adopted 103 resolutions against Israel. That's more than all those leveled against North Korea, Iran, and Syria combined. And we all know North Korea, Iran, and Syria, they're bastions of human rights, right? They're free, people are treated well, ha-ha. More than all. Combined. This organization is a demonically inspired organization to fulfill in part that prophecy in Zechariah that talks about the nations coming against Jerusalem, Zechariah 12, 1 through 3, I won't go into it, but the Word of God says it's an immovable stone. They will not be able to conquer. Mark Twain asked famously this question in his unique Mark Twain way. He said, "The Jews saw them all, survived them all. He was speaking of empires that have come and gone. He says, all things are mortal, but the Jews, all other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of their immortality? Mark, I got the answer for you. It's in the Bible. Here we go, real quick. Jeremiah 31, 35, 36. This is what the Lord says, he who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. Amen. God has the last word, not the UN or anyone else. Am Yisrael Chai, the people of Israel live. Hallelujah. I want you to read in this newsletter the story of IDF reservist David and his wife Lindsay when they came to dinner with us. David, out of his own initiative, says to me, I really don't want to leave until you talk to my wife about Yeshua. She has a lot of questions and she's really interested. This is happening over and over and over and over again. The high price Israel is paying, I don't think you can read this, but we've had 915 civilians murdered, 819 security personnel killed, IDF reservists and soldiers, 5,331 wounded, more than 5,200 family members have been bereaved, including 1,590 bereaved parents, 306 widows, 645 orphans, 645 orphans, and 2,730 bereaved siblings. 1,400 buildings have been damaged in the north alone. This does not even include what happened October 7th outside of Gaza. $265 million worth. 13,878 acres of farm and forest land burned in the north from these ongoing rocket attacks. 46,000 businesses have closed. Estimated 60,000 will close by the end of the year. 250,000 people were evacuated, and as I said, 60,000 are still not able to go to their homes. This is our opportunity to demonstrate that Yeshua is their hope, and followers of Yeshua really care. Sunrise in the Himalayas. What does the Himalayas have to do with with Israel? Himalayan Mountains. This is our outreach center and guest house in the Himalayan Mountains. And hundreds of Israelis are hearing the good news of the Yeshua for the first time in their lives, and many are receiving comfort and healing for their wounded souls. In this newsletter, you're going to read a story about a woman and her children who survived the Kibbutz Be'eri massacre. And when she was at sunrise, and our leader, Benny, said, I'm going to teach you a song. It's called Shukiria. We're going to thank God. And then he said, you know, I know that it's hard to thank God in difficult circumstances. It's easy in good circumstances. And when he sang, this woman's heart melted and she wept for the first time since October 7th, and God brought some healing to her soul. Many Israelis are flocking to India to find solace and get out of the war zone and the terror. Families from the north are going and they're meeting each other and they're setting up temporary schools in India. Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, but they're setting up schools, I said, in India, and at sunrise, they're meeting the lover of their souls, Yeshua. And Benny is just such a wonderful lover, him and his wife. And Israelis get rejected in different places, and they say, why do you love us? And he said, because your Messiah lives in my heart.
Is there a truce going on?
I'll take questions later, sir. You can imagine Holocaust survivors, what they've been going through since October 7th, reliving the trauma of their youth. We serve more than 300 Holocaust survivors all around the country, week after week, all through the year. Home visits to those that are shut in. We do about 120 home visits a month. Warm houses where 160 survivors are attending. These are places where the survivors themselves said, we want to study the Bible together with you guys. And so I want to just give you a taste of what's going on with this next video. It's amazing what God is doing. One of the great privileges and honors in my life and my wife's to be able to bring comfort and the love of Yeshua to Holocaust survivors, and many of them are opening up to him as the lover of their soul, their Messiah, and their Savior. Allow me to make an appeal to you. You folks have always, this congregation and all of you folks have always been very generous, and I'm very grateful for that. But these new needs, these new opportunities, these new open doors that God has opened for us, we must go through. But in order to go through them, we're going to need a lot of generous support to hire staff, to do the programs, and not just today, but throughout the year. So please prayerfully consider what God would have you to do I'm not a fundraiser, I'm a minister, but I would ask you to please just be obedient to the Lord. And I always like to say this because I'm also a congregational leader. Don't give your tithe to Reach Initiative. That belongs here in your congregation. But maybe the Lord has provided for you and you can give offerings above your tithe, or maybe He'll call you to make a sacrifice for others. Just pray and do whatever the Lord puts on your heart, both today and throughout 2025. And I just want to hold this back up to do two things. To say, you'll see that through December 31st, every gift you give is matched dollar for dollar, doubling the impact of your compassion and generosity. So that's a great opportunity with this matching gift challenge through the end of the year. The other thing is, I want to hold this up and just say thank you again from all of these different kinds of people that God is entrusting us to love on, meet their physical needs, and hopefully, with your prayers, love them into the kingdom of God. The needs are great. The opportunities for us to shine the light of Yeshua is great. And thank you. Thank you for who you are in Yeshua and for standing with us. I just want to pray and bring it to a close. I promised Jude I would not speak more than 3 hours. How am I doing? I don't know. I lost track. Okay. Let's pray together. Avinu Malkeinu, there are so many things that we can pray over. Lord, so much suffering, so much loss, so much pain, so much sorrow, so much evil and anti-Semitism. Lord, we know that you see it all, and we know that in one sense, you're looking to us to stand strong, to shine the light, to bring the good news, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. On the other side, Lord, we're looking to you. I'm reminded of 2,000 years ago, you poured out your Holy Spirit, fire and wind, on Jerusalem. And it caused amazing things to happen. Signs, wonders, miracles. The believers became bolder than bold, full of love, servant-hearted, and a great harvest of our people. 3,000 in one day, and then 5,000 just men, and so on. Lord, we're asking you for fresh fire and wind in Jerusalem, in Israel, in Melbourne, and around the world to usher in this great promised, prophesied end time revival. And Lord, we as your people say, Hineni. Lord, we want to give you our best in terms of our time, talent, and resources in these days. Thank you so much for the privilege of living this life in the light of being your beloved sons and daughters, and also your co-laborers in the greatest work on earth, the work of the kingdom of God. We bless you, we honor you, and we thank you again for being with us and hearing our prayers. And Lord, I just pray that the next time I visit here, Lord, we would see more and more of your Jewish people and others that have come into the kingdom rejoicing together with this mishpucha. In Yeshua's name, amen.